At Ability Chiropractic, we believe every child deserves to grow up healthy, strong, and connected to the incredible power within their own body. From infants to adults, our doctors specialize in purposeful chiropractic care that restores balance between the brain and body, helping you and your family live and heal the way you were designed to, naturally. Families across Columbus are choosing to build lifelong wellness from the start. Discover what true health feels like at Ability Chiropractic. Schedule your visit today at abilitychiro.com.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
When we announced that we were engaged on Facebook, oh gosh, everyone seemed very happy about it. Then I started to see angry faces and a lot of negative comments. My mother-in-law commented saying, how effing, the actual word, effing dare you announce this without asking my permission first?
No.
No, not on a public Facebook post.
This is terrible.
So bad. Then it only got worse from there. She proceeded to call me names and tell me that I wasn't good enough to marry her son. Oh my gosh. Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of Here Comes the Drama. I'm your host, Krista Innes from Party Planning by Krista. And today's episode is a real treat. I'm joined by Cassie, better known as Wedding Pro Cass. Cassie wears many hats. She's a venue director, mobile bar owner, and event planner based in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. With 12 years of experience in the wedding industry, she has seen it all and has the stories to prove it. Seriously, I think she could write a book. From tips and tricks to jaw-dropping wedding drama, Cassie is here to share her expertise and entertain us with her incredible insights into the world of weddings. Plus, we talk about a really crazy wedding submission that we got. It will have your jaw dropping. Honestly, I think it was the craziest story I've ever read. So grab your coffee or signature cocktail, depending on the time, and let's dive into today's episode. Hi, Cassie. Thank you so much for coming on.
Of course. Thank you so much for having me.
Yes, I'm so excited, especially because you have like firsthand experience in wedding drama. You do so much when it comes to weddings, and you have some amazing content that I've loved seeing more recently, because when I started talking about the podcast, people were kept tagging you, and I was like, this is so cool. And you have like so many stories. So I was like, we have to talk and see what we can come up with here. But before we get started, can you just tell us a little bit about you and what you do? And then we'll kind of jump into it.
Yeah. My name's Cassie. A lot of people on TikTok know me as Wedding Pro Cass. I've been in the industry for about 12 years now, always working venue-based, usually from properties like clubs, resorts. And now I work at the Heinz History Center in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. So that's kind of my main job. I help and lead a team that does about 60 weddings a year. So we see a ton come in and out of our building. And I own a mobile bar, Clink 92, that services weddings and all kinds of events in Pittsburgh and Ohio. And then just this year, because of TikTok, I have started taking on personal clients, very small, anywhere between 2 to 5 a year, just because I'm so busy, where I actually do full service planning and partial planning for couples. So
that is amazing.
Having fun.
Yeah. So you're like a planner by nature. You love getting it all together.
Yes. I feel like since I've been young, that's how I am. And I am just a very creative person. So any type of outlet where I can be connecting with people and sharing ideas and building something from the ground up, I absolutely love.
Yeah, that's amazing. And 60 weddings a year. Wow. That is, how do you keep everything straight? Like, do you ever mix up like, oh, this couple here, wait, that was that couple. Like, you have to be a really very organized person.
So I have to say, like, a lot of the reason we're so successful is because of the amazing people that work on my team. I oversee several planners, events operations managers, and a full crew that really help the magic kind of come together on a wedding day. So that helps me not have to take on the brunt of everything, which helps a lot. I usually just at the History Center have anywhere between 8 to 12 couples that are specifically mine. So that makes it a little bit easier to manage.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. Wow, that sounds awesome, which we're going to talk about today. I bet you have a lot of wedding horror stories. I'm sure you have good and bad stories.
Yes.
We always talk about, I always make sure, and I'm sure you have to say this with your people on your channel as well, is like, there are so many amazing wedding stories. I get some comments sometimes that'll be like, oh, thank God I saw this because I never want to get married. And I'm just like, no, I don't want my channel to make you not want to get married or have a wedding, because there's like so many drama-free weddings, but the drama ones just really heighten when they're so crazy.
Right. And I feel like I'm the same way. I go on my channel every so often and I'm like, hey, just a reminder, a lot of the stories are dramatized and bad things do not happen at every wedding. Every single wedding has the happy moments and has these beautiful moments. And none of the stories I tell, I never want them to veer somebody from getting married. Obviously, I'm in the wedding industry as you are. We love weddings. We like to see the big weddings. And I see a lot of people like, I'm eloping because of this. And I'm like, please don't jump to that conclusion. These stories just, I feel like our audience thrives on them and it gives them a little bit of drama in their day. So that's why it's fun to post and connect with people.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the other side of it too is like teaching people boundaries to have. Some of the conversations that you post is like, it's helping someone on whether they're like quote unquote villain of the story or quote unquote protagonist, like seeing these conversations take place can help them know what to say in certain situations or how to set boundaries with someone that maybe is overbearing.
Exactly. And I get a lot of people, I know your channel does too, where people will say, oh my gosh, I'm the mom in this situation, or I need to say this to my mom. I need to say this to my sister, because it puts into perspective that other people are going through a similar situation or something that's pretty applicable, and how we are responding shows them how they could respond.
Yeah, absolutely. So jumping into kind of crazy stories and wedding hot takes, what is like one of the craziest stories that comes to mind when you're asked about it?
So this one, it's one of the funnier ones, but it's a little bit heartfelt. And I have shared it on my page two different times. But I had a couple that was just elite vibes. You know, when you like bond with a couple, everybody in the family is so fun. There was zero drama. So I go into the wedding weekend and we run rehearsal. Everything's great. The next day I check in on the couples we had where I was working at the time. There was like two villas. So one for the ladies, one for the gentlemen. Check in with the ladies. Everything's good. I check in with the gentlemen and they all of a sudden are like, oh my gosh, we forgot to tell you our great grandma has to be in the wedding ceremony. And I'm like, oh my goodness, I can't believe we didn't go over this. So I logistically go into planner mode, like, what song does she want to walk to? Does she need an escort? Is there a walker or a wheelchair? Where are we reserving her a spot? And they're like, yeah, we'd love if you would walk her down the aisle. And as long as she has a seat in the front row, that's all good. So me, I'm like, great, just let me know when grandma gets here. And I'm looking around like no grandma in sight. And one of the groomsmen, who was the brother, is like, hey, grandma's already here. I already have her. And I'm like, oh, well, do you need me to go get a wheelchair to like pick her up? And he's like, no, let me go grab her. And brings out a Tupperware container of her remains. And like, they have drawn this little smiley face on it. And me, I was just surprised, like, whatever, if that's what your family does. And like, this is how you bring great grandma to things. And they just hand her over to me like, yeah, here she is. If you don't mind, before it starts, walking her down and putting her on the chair so her face is facing us. And I'm like,
her face?
A joke? So I literally have this little Tupperware container that I'm like walking down before the real processional starts. I place her on the chair, make sure the little Sharpie face that they drew on there is facing front. And to me, I found it hilarious, but also a little sentimental and special. Like, this is how their family's like, including their great grandma. And they told me after that, their great grandma has been to like all the cousins' weddings. She comes to the holidays, and it's like kind of a joke, but also not. And yeah, to me, that was one of those crazy stories that you go into a wedding day and you don't expect for that to happen. And you just kind of got to go with it and keep everything lighthearted. So yeah, that's one that I share quite frequently because it's not too drama filled, but just a little surprising.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Because it's like one of those things where I think they probably got so used to in their own family just saying, oh, great grandma, bring great grandma. But forgot to mention to you, like, great grandma's ashes.
Yeah.
You know, so you're expecting this person. Mm-hmm. And they just were like, let's see how she reacts to that.
Yeah. And like, luckily, I'm very like go with the flow. So I was just like, okay, great grandma's going to hang out with me for the next hour. I'll make sure she gets down the aisle.
Oh, my gosh. Okay. So going into that, but I want to talk about wedding hot takes. And I kind of want to angle it a little bit differently since you're so involved in the wedding industry.
Okay.
This first one's about a guest or someone wearing white to the wedding. How would you handle that? And like, what are your own takes on when someone tries to wear white to a wedding?
Okay. My own personal take is absolutely not. We are not wearing white to a wedding. Only reason you should be wearing white to a wedding is if the couple specifies hey, the dress code is all white, because there are weddings that do that. And I think in that case, of course, but if it has not been specified to wear white, it is reserved for the bride, typically. I have had brides get married in blue. I've had brides get married in black. But typically, if you're going to take a bet on something, most likely the bride is wearing a shade of white. So personally, that is my take. I have only had this happen twice, where I've had people arrive to a wedding and they are wearing white. One time it was a child that was like a guest, maybe like middle-aged school age. So I didn't really think that was an issue. It didn't become an issue. But there was another time where a girl was literally wearing a white dress. It had like very teeny weeny tints of blush flowers, very light, looked white. And in this case, I basically went to one of the bridesmaids and I said, how do you think the bride is going to react to her wearing white? And the bridesmaid was like, she needs to change. So I approached the guest, and I've actually done I did a story on this on my page. Approached the guest and I just let her know, somebody in the wedding party has noticed the white dress. Do you have any change of clothes? Are you coming from out of town? Luckily, she was like, I thought people might think this was too white, which I'm like, did you look in the mirror? She was staying at the hotel that was a mile away. She had arrived at least 20 minutes before the ceremony. So she's like, I will go back now. I'll change. She actually ended up not making it back for the ceremony. And she was there at cocktail hour in a purple dress. So to me, if someone wears white and I'm not sure how the couple would respond, maybe we haven't chatted about it, I will approach somebody that's close to the bride, mom, sister. I typically don't like to bother the bride with it. And if they think they need to change, I have no problem approaching somebody and letting them know.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. That was handled so well, because it's like, you never know how that person's going to react either. But yeah, like PSA is, if you think it's too white, or when you're looking in the mirror getting ready and you're like, no, people think it, then it probably is too white.
Yes. If it crosses your mind, is this too white? Or you're texting a group chat, do we think this has too much white in it? Then just put it back on in your closet and wear it another day.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh my gosh. Okay. What are your thoughts on the bride and groom seeing each other before walking down the ceremony, like doing a first look, as opposed to at the end of the altar?
So as a professional, I'm a huge fan of the first look. Just logistically, it makes your couple's day, I think, a little bit more relaxed, not as rushed. Obviously, you can get all those pictures before. And if I know my couples are super emotional, I sometimes recommend that, because it takes the pressure off of having that moment when you walk down the aisle. So personally, as a professional, I would 100% say first look. Now, personally, I am a sucker for like the traditional see each other when you walk down the aisle. That is what I did with my husband. But I do have to say, we were both like happy crying the whole wedding, because it was so overwhelming. And that is one of the reasons that I'm like, man, if I went back in time, I might have done a first look. But that was like 8 years ago. So I'm like, first looks were not as popular then.
Right, right. That's so funny. That's like the very common thing I hear. It's like, logistically, when people are like planners or they work behind the scenes, they're like, yes, do a first look. But for brides themselves, a lot of times they're like, no, I love that moment. Cause I was the same way. Like, I loved having that first moment down the aisle, but I've been a part of so many weddings where they did a first look. So it's kind of interesting to see. Do you have any wedding hot takes or unpopular opinions that you can think of right off the bat? Otherwise, we'll jump into a section called unpopular opinions from other people.
Okay. Well, one opinion that I always share very frequently on my page, and it always is like, I get so many comments, is I do not believe a formal wedding should have open seating. Absolutely not. It should be organized seating. I don't care if you're doing seating assignments or table assignments, but open seating at a formal wedding is just not it. And I always talk about like the repercussions of choosing that. And people in the comments are like, oh, I did open seating for my 300 person wedding. It was no problem. And I was like, you probably just didn't see it because it was your wedding day. But when I tell you there's repercussions to that choice, there totally is. So that is like my number one opinion that I have on seating.
Yes. No, I love that. I'm such a planner myself, type A. I love a good seating chart. Nothing makes me happier than being as a guest and on the other side of things. I love being told where to sit, because it kind of brings back like, oh, do we have enough room? Or, oh, I don't know anybody at this wedding, so where are my husband and I, or where am I going to squeeze in? And it just makes things less awkward. If you're like, you know what? That's my seat. Don't need to think about it.
Yeah, literally from like a timeline standpoint, guest comfortability, and then even the host comfortability, knowing everybody will be taken care of, it's the best route to go.
Yes. And I loved, I don't know about you at your own wedding, but I loved putting together the seating chart of like, oh, this person would get along with that person. We're going to put them here. And my husband would laugh at me, because I had so much fun. Every night I'd be like, okay, I think I need to move these people. He's like, it looks good. I'm like, well, how about this and this? I loved like the final, like, I don't know. It was so much fun for me to put together.
Yeah. Me and my husband got married. We were 23, 24. So like pretty young. So I felt a little bit like matchmaker because like we invited a lot of our single friends after college. Yeah. Like, oh, we could sit these people together and these people together. But no, that's definitely a fun part of it.
Oh my gosh. I love that. Okay. So here's some unpopular opinions that people sent me on Instagram. So let's kind of see what they had to say. This person says, take wedding parties' individual budget into consideration when planning wedding events. What are your thoughts on that?
Take wedding parties' individual budgets. If you're in the wedding party, I am on board. I do have to agree. I am on board with like getting a general sense of like where people are at monetarily. Usually in a wedding party, like people are all over in their life. Like some people may have kids. Some people may be in 8 weddings that year. So I do think it's important to kind of get a general sense of what people can spend when it comes to like bachelorette and those types of things. I think when it comes to the actual wedding, no, that should be up to the couple. When it comes to attire, you 100% should keep in mind people's budget, especially if they're buying all of their own things. If the bride or groom are paying for wedding party things, then I don't think it truly matters. But yeah, I am on board on that for the most part.
Yeah. And I think too, an important thing to say is it should never be a requirement. Like if someone wants to be in your wedding, but they're like, I can't make it to the bachelorette party, it's out of my budget. It's okay to say no to those things. Because I see so many times in comments like, oh, the bride's selfish for wanting to do a bachelorette party trip to Florida or wherever it is. But as a bridesmaid, you have the free will to say, no, I will be in your wedding, but I can't afford this. So it definitely goes both ways for sure.
Yes.
This person says her unpopular opinion is doing something for tradition's sake is unnecessary, i.e. the bouquet toss and garter toss.
I agree with that one as well. I feel regardless of the tradition, the couple should always be choosing things that make the most sense for them and their partner and are going to enhance their day. And if you are getting forced to do a cake cutting, the garter, the bouquet, and you don't want to do it, like it's the worst thing. Nobody should be forcing you to do anything on your day just because it's tradition or mom did it, dad did it. And I always tell people that nothing is mandatory at a wedding when it comes to the formalities.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah, I feel like so many times people fall into the trap of like, well, they did it, so I have to do it too. Or this is like what's expected of me. And I feel like when you start going that way, then you either have regrets about your wedding or you're uncomfortable on your own wedding day.
Right.
So yeah, I totally agree. Okay. I want to jump into this week's wedding submission because it's a little long. So here we go. I've not read this, so we'll see how this one goes. And feel free to stop me anytime if you want to add something or react to it. We'll just kind of react as it goes. When my husband and I met, it was online. I knew before I ever met him, he was the man I was going to marry. We talked for a long time via messages and FaceTime before ever meeting. We met and it wasn't long before he had hinted that he was going to propose to me. It finally happened a week before one of my closest friends was to be married. So I kept the news to myself until we got through that and then I announced it, which props to her. That's very nice.
Yeah.
My parents had already knew it was going to happen as he sat down and spoke with them. My older brother also knew it was coming as well. I guess he had covered all the bases with my family about asking me to marry him, but he hadn't said anything to his family at all. Which
what?
Interesting. Yeah. When we announced that we were engaged on Facebook, oh gosh, everyone seemed very happy about it. Then I started to see angry faces and a lot of negative comments. My mother-in-law commented saying, how effing, the actual word, effing dare you announce this without asking my permission first?
No.
No, not on a public Facebook post.
This is terrible.
So bad. Then it only got worse from there. She proceeded to call me names and tell me that I wasn't good enough to marry her son. Oh my gosh. All while she was commenting, my sister-in-law was calling and yelling at him about how they should have had a family meeting about allowing a woman with kids into the family.
What?
Oh my gosh. I felt sick and unwanted.
That's terrible.
Family meeting.
No.
Oh my gosh. Eventually, we get to planning the wedding, and his mom had made it very clear that she did not want any part of helping plan the wedding. We tried to include her many times, but she would just keep saying rude things about how my wedding didn't need to be the center of every conversation. So my husband is from a really small town, and we went there for the 4th of July. This was the first time I would be meeting his dad and stepmom, his brother and sister. Yes, the same sister that was calling and yelling at him. It was a good time, and they were very interested in all the things that we had planned for the wedding. Okay, so it seems like some family
members. Yeah, I was like, this is turning around.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Maybe. His dad told us that we had an allotted amount of money to use and that if he needed anything beyond that, his mom would have to help us, the dad's ex-wife. So it was the day we went dress shopping, and because we had so many bridesmaids, the place was a full house. Everyone was having the best time. Then we felt a shift in the energy, and my mother-in-law walked in. Just a gray cloud.
Here we go.
She was extremely upset that no one picked her up to bring her to the bridal shop. She sat down and shouted, "Let's get this thing over with. I don't want to be here all effing day."
She seems nasty.
Yeah. Why even invite her? Like, I would be like, no, you're not coming. Because I wouldn't even want someone's opinions like that. Mm-mm. My mom looked over at her and asked her to leave then if she didn't want to be there. Yeah. Then she said, she's been married before, so I don't know why she even needs to buy a dress.
That's terrible. Ugh. I hate that.
She could have gotten one at Goodwill.
That's no.
Part of her comment. Okay. That is terrible.
This lady's a witch.
Yeah. I ignored the comments and started trying on dresses. There wasn't a dress I tried on that she didn't have a rude comment about. I would be telling her to leave at that point. That is,
yeah,
that's so like unenjoyable. I finally found the one and loved it, and it made me happy. Later that evening at dinner, she tells my husband, "I found the dress that hides my arm flab the best."
No, this is bad. I don't know who this woman is, but this is bad.
This is bad. This is like one of the worst stories I read. Oh my gosh. The night of my rehearsal, my mother-in-law sat there complaining the whole time how she had to sit at the same table as my father-in-law. She kept saying he better not talk to me. Then finally, my brother-in-law shows up late and my mother-in-law demanded that I allow my brother-in-law's wife in the wedding as a bridesmaid.
Excuse me?
At the rehearsal dinner? Okay. She was supposed to be my bridesmaid and then they broke up. And I guess they got back together the week of the wedding.
Surprise.
Okay. They called me many times that week and never said anything about it. So I was a little taken aback by this. My mother-in-law told me that she was told to bring the dress and that she would make me let her be in the wedding again.
This is okay. The mother-in-law said that again.
My mother-in-law told me that she told her to bring the dress with her and that she would make me let her be in the wedding again.
Okay, so force this girl into the wedding. Okay.
Yeah, and make my other bridesmaids sit out. Wait, so that's even worse. Like, we're just going to swap you right in there.
This is terrible.
Oh my gosh. I told her I wouldn't allow my other bridesmaid who paid money for the dress to sit out, and they would both have to walk down the aisle together. That didn't make her happy, and she told me to just tell my bridesmaid that we would reimburse her for the dress and she could sit down and enjoy herself. I again told her absolutely not. She got upset and called me a spoiled witch.
I'm a little taken back by this woman.
Yeah, it's hard because it's like, I'm not in that position. So it's always different when you're in it. But I'm just like, I could not stand to be around someone like that that's constantly mean like that and just trying to control everything.
Also, I'm a little confused. Why isn't the partner standing up to his mom or like being a little bit more supportive here? Because it wasn't one instance. This is like 20 instances.
Yes. He needs to be like guarded security at this point.
Yes.
Blocking her because, yeah, that's too much. We finally get the rehearsal done and everyone left to go to my brother's house where we were going to have pizza. My sister-in-law made rude comments about how we could only afford pizza and not a real meal.
Oh, no.
Let me tell you, we had pizza at our rehearsal dinner and it was still expensive.
Everyone loves pizza. There's no problem with pizza.
Exactly. No one complained, at least not to our face. My parents shelled out over $1,000 for this meal. It's what we chose as it feeds the most. And it was easy as my husband was having his bachelor party the night before the wedding.
Yikes.
So his groomsmen, yeah. No, I didn't know people still did that.
Yeah, no.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, so he had his bachelor party. It was a terrible idea, by the way.
Yeah.
But that's a story for another day. So we all had pizza and us girls all left. We told my mother-in-law three times before we left what time our hair and makeup appointment was the next morning. And we were almost done when she and my brother-in-law's wife showed up to get ready. She said, "How dare I get ready before the mother of the groom?"
What?
I cannot believe the audacity here.
Yeah, she's out of line.
Yeah. When everyone was ready to go to the ballroom and get ready for pictures, she was mad that we were leaving her. Well, you should have been there on time.
Yeah.
We were on a strict time frame. We told her that my sister-in-law needed to be there by a certain time for pictures. She never got there in time for pictures, and it snowballed from there. My mother-in-law ruined our first look, not surprised, by accidentally getting mud all over the bottom of my dress. Oh.
Accidentally.
Yeah, how did that happen? She wouldn't smile in any pictures. Oh my gosh. So later that night, I heard someone say that my mother-in-law was telling everyone that my wedding was unclassy and tacky, and that clearly we didn't have any money to buy real things. Why do people feel the need to make comments like that?
Right. Keep it to yourself.
Yeah. Like, come on. Oh, and yes, then the arm flab comment came up again.
I'd slap her.
Oh my gosh. That is terrible. Like, never comment on someone's body, but especially not the bride on her wedding day.
Exactly. Like,
that is not okay. And that night she walked by and pinched my arm and said, "You should really work on that. It's gross."
No, this could be like a whole series. This is like the series of unfortunate mother-in-law. I don't know what this is.
Literally, I'm picturing like, what's that movie? Like Monster-in-Law. It's like literally something like that.
This is
if
bad.
Someone did that to me, I would literally be like, you can leave right now. But yeah. I feel like I would have said that so many times. I don't know.
Same.
I wish I could have made that up, but I didn't. My mother-in-law to this day is still not a nice woman, doesn't speak to me. My brother-in-law is not married to that woman anymore. And my father-in-law is still the coolest. Well, at least the father-in-law's cool. Yeah. Here's to 10 years and crazy in-laws.
Wow. I can't believe she put up with that on her wedding day.
Yeah. I feel like once I saw those rude Facebook comments, I would be like, okay, we need to fix this now or you're not invited to anything. Because right. The wedding dress thing, I would not want to put on and try wedding dresses in front of someone like that.
No, I mean, I did dress shopping with just me and my mom, and it was like perfect because it was like little opinion and I could really try it on. I can't imagine having my whole wedding party, my mom, mother-in-law, especially somebody that like you get the vibes, they don't like you. It's like they're trying to sabotage mm-hmm. your whole experience, which is what this woman did.
Exactly. Yeah, kind of going back to when people are like, oh, these stories make me never want to get married or something. Someone like this, you have red flags ahead of time.
Right.
You're not going to just all of a sudden have a wedding dress shop and the person that's been so nice to you is always going to be like, oh, that looks terrible. So I think a lot of times you'll have those red flags about people. And if you don't, I don't think it's going to automatically just change.
Right. I think the thing that just surprises me about the story is that the husband was seeing this happen and like, she doesn't share. The husband might have had conversations with his mom. Like, she didn't share that part of it. But I'm like, that truly shocks me that he would allow his mom to speak to his wife like that. I can't imagine that happened. Like you said, like, we're not in the situation. You're reading it from a one-sided story. But like, that's what shocks me the most is that like, they let her get away with it.
Right. Well, yeah, I find it interesting. She says, and she doesn't speak to me, which makes me think she still speaks to the son. And I, again, don't want to make assumptions, but right. if I was being treated that way and my husband was still talking to his mom, I would be like, no, like you need to back up your wife.
Right.
So it sounds like she's still talking to the son, but just not the wife. And the wife, she liked the brother's wife so much. And she was like trying to pull her in. I'm like, what's the difference? Like, why? Yeah.
And they're not even married anymore. So it looks like the son picked a very great partner where like the other son didn't have as great of a match. So that's a little weird too.
Yeah. I feel like when I hear these stories, it has to do with some kind of jealousy or like appearances or like she wants to look a certain way. I don't know.
It always surprises me because like I have the world's best mother-in-law that she's just like an angel and our families get along and there's just like never really issues. And in the planning process, it was like so easy. So when I hear these stories, I'm like, I can't believe someone would act like that or like treat somebody like that, especially in the era of being engaged and planning your wedding. Like it's such a sentimental time and something that you think about like for the rest of your life. And like for somebody to ruin it because of their poor attitude, I'm like, how unfortunate is that, that happens to people?
I know. It's so funny because when I post these stories, people always assume it's because I have a terrible mother-in-law too. And I'm like, no, my mother-in-law is amazing. Like,
yeah.
I could call her up any time of the day. She's so sweet. We get along great. Our family's get along great. And so then when I hear these stories, I'm like, I could not imagine having to like feel like you have to like walk on tiptoes or get super anxious when you have to go see his family or something. Like, that's terrifying.
Yeah. I'm sure you get this in your comments as well. But I am also sometimes surprised by how many people are like, I have this, like, this is the situation I'm in with my in-laws. And I'm like, hundreds and hundreds of people that can relate to that. I'm like, that is shocking to me.
Yeah. And even when I dramatize things and I'm like, oh, this is like a really crazy character. I'll do this. And someone will comment and they're like, that's almost word for word how my mother-in-law talks to me. And I'm like, Girl, I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
Because like, I'm also someone like, I hate confrontation. I'm so bad with stuff like that. So when I hear this stuff, I'm like, my stomach drops. I'm like, how do you deal with that? I would not be able to.
No, no.
Oh my gosh. Well, that was a bad story, but a great
story. A great story with a lot of drama.
Yes. I'm very sorry for this bribe, but thank you for sharing your story with us. Sounds like you set up some boundaries where you don't talk to her, but let's get that near set here. Okay, so to end, I'm just going to read a couple of confessions that people sent to me. People are sending me confessions on Instagram as well.
I love this.
And then we'll just share our takes on them. I was having some guests before kind of rate them as like mild tea or chaos, but it's kind of more fun just to kind of react to them. Okay, so this one says, my mother-in-law wanted us to travel 9.5 hours to her while I'm 36 weeks pregnant.
No, absolutely not. I have 2 kids. Just nope.
Same. Yeah, I'd be like, no, thank you. I barely wanted to travel like to the store when I was 36 weeks pregnant. So.
Yeah, and you can't, like, you would have to drive. You can't even get on a plane at that time.
Exactly.
Like, you would have to drive there, and how uncomfortable. And what if something happens and you're 9.5 hours from home? That's where you have to go to have your baby. Those aren't your doctors. Crazy. That's crazy. Yeah.
Like, you can come to me if you really want to.
Exactly.
This person says the bride and groom shouldn't send invites to family members who they don't have a relationship with.
Now, I'm like, I'm pro that. Like, I kind of support that. I'm always like, and I see it from the other side, like, just because your family doesn't entitle you to an invitation. I do think that if you are curating a guest list that is like, you want to be surrounded by people that are supportive of you, involved in your life, then like, why are you sending invitations to your fourth cousins that you've never met? Mm-hmm. It can look a little bit like a money grab. But then I also see it on the other side where I'm like, people just have big families. They're not close with everybody. That doesn't mean they don't want to come and support the couple. Mm-hmm. So I see it both ways.
I know. It's hard. It's like, I feel like traditionally it was like, invite everybody that like your parents' friends, your parents' second cousins and stuff. But now I feel like people are getting better about, okay, well, what can we fit in our budget? Or do we want to be surrounded by people that we personally know? And I think it just goes down to like, as the bride and groom, what do you two want? And go from there.
Right.
I guess that was more of like a opinion, less a confession. Okay, this last one. At my oldest brother's wedding, my cousins and I secretly bet on how long it would last.
I think that's a little bit funny. But also, I'm like, hopefully your cousin's picking like a good match and you would wish for a lifetime of happiness. But I've had friends in this situation where like, I go to the wedding and I'm like, I don't know if this is it for them. In the back of my mind, I don't say it out loud.
Right.
In the back of my mind.
Yes. I know. That is a little bit of a hot take there of like going, but I mean, I'm sure like it's, you kind of think about it because you're at a wedding and you're like, okay, here's to like forever. I've definitely been to a wedding and spoiler alert, they did get a divorce and I'm not friends with the girl, not because of that, but it's a whole other thing. But at the wedding, I was like, this is doomed. And I hate to say that because I've never thought that other than this wedding. I was like, this isn't, or no, I'm sorry. There's been two and they both.
I have two. And really? So did mine. They ended in divorce or separation. So I'm like.
Both of them had red flags before. Like literally the bride was crying to us at her bachelorette party. And we were like, if you need to get out, tell us what you need. Like, we'll help you. No, it's fine. Day before the wedding, after the rehearsal dinner, sobbing in the car. I don't want to do
this.
We already spent so much money.
And that happens. Like, there is people that happens to. Like, they go through with it because they feel like their parents or themselves or whoever's contributing have already paid all of this money. And it's like, we don't want to cancel it. Like, but at the end of the day, it's canceling your wedding because you know it's not the right match, better than a divorce 1 year later.
Exactly. And that's going to be costly too. So just turn it into a big party. Everyone's traveling in. I mean, I know it's easier said than done, but definitely. All right. Well, that was the last one. Well, thank you so much for coming on. This was
a blast. Fun.
Can you tell everyone where they can follow you, any other projects you're working on and all that good stuff?
Yes. So you can follow me, Wedding Procast. I'm mainly on TikTok, but I'm starting to branch out Instagram. I'm getting a couple of things in the works for YouTube. I do not have it in me to do a podcast, but I love being a guest on the podcast. So this is amazing. A couple projects I'm working on. So I have created, and a lot of people find me in for this, is I've created planning courses that are very cost effective for people that are self-planning and cannot afford a wedding planner. So I have always offered these two, My Wedding My Way and 3 to 4 Months Till I Do, which are specific to like certain time frames of your wedding. I am currently working on a membership, which will be like an alternative way of planning, where you basically have like a video vault and constant courses and things being uploaded. And I just wrote 2 children's books that are specific to like Flower Girl and Ring Bearer and about the ABCs of weddings. So I am in the phase of illustrating those, and hopefully those will come out sometimes early 2025.
Oh, that's so cool. How awesome. You do it all. You got a lot of projects.
My brain doesn't stop. It's like I have an idea and I'm like, yeah, I'm just going to go for it. I have no clue what I'm doing out here. I'm just having fun and going with the flow.
I love it. It's that like planner mindset where you're just like, okay, let's just do it. Let's get busy and find something. Yeah. I love that. Well, when those are available, definitely send me links and stuff and we can get it in the show notes. Well, thank you so much for coming on. That was so fun having you react. Like I said, I had some people tag you in like comments and stuff, and now I follow your stuff. I love your content because you're so involved in the wedding stuff that you've got stories for days. So
yeah. And I feel like we have a very similar audience because we're storytellers, and like my whole page is on storytelling, but usually one a day I try to tell stories, and I get the same, like people will be like, did you see her story? And they'll tag me and I'm like, oh, I saw it. That's a juicy one.
Yes. Yeah, it's so good. I can't stop watching the drama stories. Those ones just get me. Like, I love it.
I feel like they're like a little bit of reprieve from people's everyday life. They come and they watch our stories and it's like a minute and a half of totally drama that they're not in.
Yes.
And they get their little fix for the day. And then they're like, okay, I'll come back tomorrow, like see the next part or whatever's going on.
Yes. Yeah. It's a good little break from reality, I think.
Yes.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much again for coming on. It was awesome chatting with you.
Thank you so much.
All right, guys, that was my interview with Cassie. I love chatting with her. It's so fun to hear from someone that is so involved in the wedding industry. She's got a lot of hot takes and she has honestly seen it all. So thank you, Cassie, for coming on. Just a reminder, guys, if you love this episode or loving this podcast, please leave a review on Apple Podcasts. It really helps more people hear the podcast and helps me create more amazing content for you. So I really appreciate all the support that this podcast has gotten so far. And I can't wait for more people to hear it and to create some more content. If you also have suggestions of who you want to see next on the podcast, feel free to send me an email, send me some submissions. I cannot wait to share more stories with more people. All right, guys, thanks so much for tuning in, and I will see you next time. Thanks so much for tuning in to Here Comes the Drama. If you enjoyed this episode, don't forget to rate, review, and share it with a friend who loves a good story. And make sure you're following me on all socials at Party Planning by Krista for even more stories, skits, and a little extra drama. Until next time, protect your peace, and I'll see you soon. Bye now.
At Ability Chiropractic, we believe every child deserves to grow up healthy, strong, and connected to the incredible power within their own body. From infants to adults, our doctors specialize in purposeful chiropractic care that restores balance between the brain and body, helping you and your family live and heal the way you were designed to, naturally. Families across Columbus are choosing to build lifelong wellness from the start. Discover what true health feels like at Ability Chiropractic. Schedule your visit today at abilitychiro.com.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.